I live. Can we talk or not? Yeah.
Straight up at 8 o'clock. It's a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. And if I have ever been, if my heart has ever been warmed by first meeting someone, it's happened just now. It's time for the Artist Corner. And as always, each and every Monday, we welcome Frankie Deshane, Director of Marketing and Sawdust Historian with us. Welcome, Frankie. How are you?
Good morning. Good, Ed. How are you?
Thank you. I need to thank you, first of all, for introducing me to our guest this morning. And that's where my heart is warmed. And I can't wait to start this conversation. We've been talking about her for weeks now. She is a mixed media enchantress. Charlaine Yee is with us this morning. Good morning, Charlaine.
Good morning.
How
Thank
are you?
Thank you for all those beautiful words.
Oh, no. You know what? You just came in and you filled this, you filled the radio station up with good vibes and energy and this magic. And magic is the word. I'm going to use it. Magic is the word.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, Frankie, tell me about her effect at Sawdust and the influence that she has. And does she do this? Does she walk into Sawdust and make everyone feel this way?
She really does. She walks into a room and she brings the magic. I mean, her class is mixed media magic, but she really embodies that. She is a magical person, very kind, effervescent, vivacious, and sparkling. And I mean, she's just lovely, and she has a lot of love and a lot of light around her. And and she's a fantastic artist, for one. Fantastic artist, and she also supports other artists.
Right.
She's super supportive of everyone at Sawdust, I would think.
I just feel better. I'm not kidding. I just feel better this morning. Thank you, Charlaine. You're born in Canada, right?
Yes.
Quebec. Okay.
Canada.
Tell me about your family growing up. Tell me a little bit about growing up.
Oh my goodness! I was born in Quebec, Canada, and it is cold over there, and I loved it. I loved the four seasons. I was born the second of five children. And I went to convent schools, French convent schools, and we had art classes on Saturdays over there.
Now, I was gonna ask, since you went to a convent school, does that repress creativity or does that feed creativity?
Oh, no. It fed creativity for me.
All right.
You know, because once you get out of the rules and everything and you do art on Saturdays.
Right.
And so it just fills your spirit right away, and you make friends with other people, and it makes the world look brighter.
Right. Was your entire family kind of leaning toward the art world, leaning toward the creative side, I should say?
Well, my mother was what they call a couturière, she was a wonderful seamstress, and she would do all of our clothes. And then my grandparents had a farm, and of course I love all the animals and the farm and the chickens and getting the eggs and gathering the. We even had our own well where people, my uncle, mon oncle Tigui, would go and gather the water and bring the water in the house. It was really an old-fashioned time, a beautiful time in my life. And then I was very, you know, I was born creative, and I loved to dance, loved to sing, loved to write, loved to do art. And then we came out here when I was 10, and we went to Catholic schools, and we had art school with Mademoiselle Gabrielle on Friday afternoons. And I'm amazed that people, oh, by the way, I had an uncle who was rather a famous art uncle.
That's Paul Tremblay.
He would do Paul Tremblay.
Tremblay, excuse me.
No, it's okay. And he was a wonderful, wonderful painter. And he would sell out of his house. But in this town where I was at, everybody would buy art. And they wouldn't buy it from galleries. They would go to my uncle, Paul Tremblay, and get their art for weddings, for baptismal, for whatever. They loved art.
Did he support you technically?
No, I was too young, and he was like too old, and he had his own family. And I have some of his paintings with me. And he was a wonderful painter and rather famous in French Canada.
Right.
And then we came out here, and our family were like the German family where they all sang together. The German family, they had a movie about. Anyway, we sang. Okay. We sang.
I couldn't help with that. I was desperately trying to help with that one.
I know. But anyway, we sang. We were a French family that sang. So they would ask us to sing, and we would sing all these French songs and everything. And people adored us until we got a little bit older. But we were like, my younger brother and sister became involved in some of the movies,
right,
as extras, and me as well. But they liked, it was at the time where they would do a lot of war movies where they'd have French, children, street right. children, and that's what we were, and my younger brother and sister as well were very much involved in that. Right. So anyway, then I went to a high school again,
Right.
The French, and we took French and had French clubs, and art clubs.
Right.
I did it all. I went into theater later on, which I adored.
So every form of creativity is
absolutely
in your blood.
Absolutely.
Every form.
Every bit. Right. Every bit. Always.
Do you still sing a little?
Not very much.
While we were waiting for you, she was singing.
No way. Mm-hmm. All right.
No, I love singing. Right. I love music. Of course I love music.
Right. So let me ask you, when you have all this creativity as a young girl, uh-huh, and then you get married on your own, mm-hmm, and you start to raise a family.
Yeah.
Did the arts stop at that point? Did you have to kind of curb the creativity to raise the family and then worry about, tell me about that time.
Yeah. Well, it's very difficult to have, such a large family and be involved in the art. But, sometimes you just have to be. So whenever I would help the kids, a lot with the art projects and different things like that. But, you always seem to find a place.
Right.
Whether you put everything under the bed and you bring it out less time than you do, but you have to have it somewhere,
right,
some kind of a creativity. And then I kept taking classes here and there.
Right.
And I was always involved with it in one way or another. But then I really got involved with it after my children and got raised.
Right.
And then I went to community college and got a degree there.
Okay.
And I loved doing that. I got a degree and.
So how has your art evolved? And I specifically want to know how it's changed because you had kids in between. Was the things you were creating, were they different because of the mindset you're in after you have a family?
Definitely. You have a growth spurt.
Right.
When you do art, you are touched by certain things.
Right.
And you look at, the sky, my eyes won't stop. Sometimes I feel like I should wear one of those masks over my eyes just to give me a rest because those eyes just are wonderful. They just pick up sparks and always are looking for something. I love to watch people.
Right.
People watching is so much fun, and seeing this or that, then I go home and I'm touched by it.
Right.
And it helps me in every phase in life, every phase.
What do you look for when you watch people? What is it? What is it about people that's so interesting?
Because they're all so different.
Okay.
One walks a different way. The other one might limp. Maybe there's somebody within a wheelchair.
Right.
Somebody that is, one of those buffing guys, that are walking down the street. People that are in love and that are kissing and nobody's there but just the two of them. I love to watch the people in the street that ask for money. The wonderful people that live off the grid like that. I just think they're really tough and sometimes I pity them, and other times I think, they're really strong to be able to do this.
Right.
There's something about them that they will not be,
Right.
They will survive.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love the empathy in you. I really love the empathy in you. And the fact that you do see so many wonderful different things in so many different walks of people. That's wonderful. So the as part of how your art has evolved, you've done everything. You've done ceramics. You've done it all.
I've done ceramics. I love ceramics. Yeah, I have. I have. I've done theater.
Right.
I love to do plays and different things. And I've done it all. And I still love it.
And what led you into the collage abstraction that we see now?
Well, you know, I started the sawdust 32 years ago.
Right.
And 32 years ago, sawdust was a little bit different.
Right.
And but it was still a beautiful, beautiful place. And I started in, and I have been doing it ever since. I started doing, one of my first things that I did was my seven children, like, okay, here I am, a trapeze artist, this great big lady hanging on a trapeze art, and I had my no clothes on, and I made myself dark brown. And then I had each one of my kids hanging on to me, whether it be over my head or on top of my head, right. You know, because when you have that many children and everything, they use your body like it's nothing. And, you know, like they're just a playground or something. Right. So one of them was whirling around my breast. The other one was holding my toes and hanging there. Another one, you know, was down my arms. Anyway, they were covering my whole body. And that's what raising kids and being creative, it opened up my mind, right. And my growth, and it made me a bigger person to understand all these different kinds of people I was raising, you know, and they're all different. I told myself, I'm going to make these kids, whatever they are, they are. I'm going to make them different, and I had twins, and they are so different. And I did it on purpose, actually, because I thought, nope, I'm not going to have this. Oh, this one, they do this because they're twins.
Right. No, you never dress the twins alike.
No, never.
I don't see you doing that.
I know.
So, Charlene, when I first met you, mm-hmm. your paintings were vastly different than what you do now.
Oh, yes.
So I met you about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and you were doing Impressionism. Your paintings were very traditional, right. very beautiful, uh-huh. equally as beautiful. But over the years, mm-hmm. I'd say in the last 5 years, you've mm-hmm. transitioned to mixed media, and you call it mixed media. You call it abstraction, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. mixed media.
Collage abstraction. Yes. Collage abstraction.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And so I find it so interesting that you went from something so traditional as impressionistic painting to something as, I mean, your mixed media is so enchanting and so different. I mean, it is. I mean, your impressionistic work was really enchanting as uh-huh. well. But I feel that your mixed media is so kind of delightful. There's something so special about it. Like you just described that painting mm-hmm. of you with your children. Uh-huh. Your mixed media pieces are equally as enchanting. You can find little bits if you study and you go into your paintings and you see.
Yeah.
You can find little bits, like little faces mixed in with the paint.
Right. Well, you know why they are different? It's because I've changed from Impressionism mm-hmm. that I went through, and I've now becoming intuitive. Mm-hmm. I start something. And it is, I don't know what I'm going to do. It just depends how I feel that day
right.
or what, but it's intuitive. And you know, that mind of ours really stretches. Maybe you're not an intuitive person,
right.
but somehow if you start doing intuitive work just by putting an abstract, a cube on that canvas, and right away you have covered the white canvas. It isn't so boring. After that, it gives you the next step. You look at it, and then you feel it, and you say, oh, I'm going to put a circle there,
right.
or I'm going to put a mountain, or whatever it is, or I'm going to put a color. But it's intuitive. It's something that you feel, and you do. You should do what you feel on that canvas. What are you going to do? If you don't like it, you can throw it out.
There you go.
You know, you cannot make a mistake.
That is sweet wisdom right there. And that's like in life, you should do what you feel. There you go. That's wonderfully put. Did you find yourself getting bored easily?
Yes.
So I'll be quick with the next question then, obviously. and does boredom lead to good art, or does boredom?
I think it does. Okay. If you're curious and want to not be bored,
right?
Now I don't know anybody that would like to be bored, but some people are boring. You know,
right. I know
they don't get out of their safety net.
Right.
They do the same thing over and over again. Now, what good is that? You got to experience. You got to push yourself.
Right.
You got to step out of that box.
Love that. Just a couple of minutes ago, you mentioned about you wanted sometimes to put the mask on so that it covers. The visuals that you ingest throughout the day. So you wake up in the morning, you spend your entire... The visuals that you've ingested throughout the day, you keep those for... you. Do those... Are you putting together art in your mind throughout the day is, I think, my question.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Especially when I go for a walk and I see nature.
Right.
And nature is just so beautiful. You cannot not believe in a higher power, God, without looking at that nature. Or you see a flower or even something ugly like a dirty street or a dirty building. I love like character things that have been there a while. You know, the beauty of the gray and the white and the dark and the ugly.
Right.
The ugly is beautiful.
There is beauty in imperfections. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that you said that right. Can I quote you?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Yes.
And teaching, you can teach art. So you do teach. The Sawdust has classes, and you've been teaching at the classes. And you can technically can teach someone how to do it.
Definitely.
Do you find that it's frustrating or hard to teach them the passion behind what makes your art special?
Well, you know, you can't teach passion. Passion has to be there.
Right.
Or some kind of a positiveness, like you want to improve something in your life, or you need it.
Right.
And but at the same time, you can take baby steps and learn what your passion is. Sometimes you don't know, but you have to look for it. Unless you want to be bored,
which none of us do.
None of us do, but it's amazing how some people cannot take those baby steps. They're hard, or you have obstacles in front of you, or you make obstacles. Sometimes they're of your own making, those obstacles. And you think, oh, all I had to do is get away from this or not do that or make sure I think positively, like, yes, I can.
Right.
Doesn't that sound simple? Yes, I can.
It does.
Just those words. Yes, I can.
Yeah.
And so what? If you can't do it as well as someone else, do not compare. Oh, that's another thing. Do not compare yourself to the next person next to you when you do art, because you are going to fail. Oh, my, that's a, no. You don't look at anybody else. You just do you.
I love that.
That's really important to remember. I took your first class this year, your very first class out of the park when we reopened Sawdust Art classes. Mm-hmm. And I took your class, and also Lisa Farber took your class. Do you remember Lisa?
She was here, wasn't she? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we both kind of approached it. I can't speak for Lisa, but I know we kind of both approached it in that we don't really do much art in our day-to-day lives. Uh-huh. And for me, it was really intimidating to sit down and do art, even collage, even abstract work. It was still super intimidating for me. And it's funny you mentioned that you shouldn't look to your person, you know, next to you, because I had Anjo sitting next to me, and Anjo was just knocking it out of the park. I mean, she was like Charlene 2.0. I mean, she was just like, and I kept looking at her work, and I kept thinking, well, mine is not.
I remember, wait, I gotta interrupt you, but do you know I remember your art right next to Banjo, and I was happy. Really, I thought you really had talent.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it was all about, I think, once I got out of my head and just started to be more intuitive, as you say, and just try to enjoy myself and be in the moment. And after I got through that hurdle, I was okay. It was just that first hour. was tough because I was stuck in my head. And
yeah.
But after that, you're so nurturing and you're so gifted in the way you teach and the energy you bring to your classes.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Frankie. So you're an artist. You do fantastic jewelry work.
She is an amazing artist.
Jewelry is amazing. So do you... Will you, because of that experience now, get out of your head all the time in the creative stuff that you put forward, even in the art that you do?
I mean, I wish I could say that I would get out of my head, but I think there's always a little, I can't speak for all artists, but I think there's a little insecurity as far as I'm concerned with my art. And yeah. I imagine that all artists probably struggle here and there in their lives, especially trying to treat art as a profession.
Right.
You know, or sharing art with others on like a class format. I imagine it would be intimidating. But for me personally, I think I always have a little bit of an insecurity in me.
Okay.
Probably not when I make jewelry. I have to say that's the only time I can sit down and not have any voices in my head telling me I can't do something.
Right. Well,
when I make jewelry.
Yeah. So other artists there at Sawdust say, oh, yeah, you need to talk to Frankie about that if you need this particular jewelry this way.
Oh,
so, yeah,
no.
so that you know that. And Charlene, in teaching other people and being at Sawdust and this family, you described Sawdust perfectly before we went on air. Mm-hmm. And the 160 plus artists that occupy that space. Tell us how you described it. Describe for the audience what you told me.
About the people, so many different types of people.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, yeah. There's so many wonderful types of people that are in the artists.
Right.
And as artists, like last year, I was across a jeweler, and next door is a glass blower,
right.
and somebody else does... you know, works with leather.
Right.
And these are all very specialized crafts and art. And but they're just wonderful people. They're just, their main thing is not to make money, but doing their craft and their art,
right.
improving it every year. And that's the beauty of the Sawdust. You can be just a beginner, or you can be a very advanced, well-known painter,
right.
And be all there at once with all these wonderful people that you learn from.
When you walk by a booth or you go to an auction or wherever the case is where you pick up art from other artists, what do you look for? What is it that, what's on your wall is what, I guess what I'm asking.
What's on my wall at home or,
yeah.
or what
yeah.
I put on my wall?
Oh, what's on your wall at home? What do you look for in other artists when you purchase art or pick up a piece for you?
Uh-huh.
What do you look for?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I have a studio on the outside of my house that is full of stuff, and my whole house is full of my work. you would think I was obsessed with me, and I guess I am in a way. But I do so many different things that sometimes I will keep my old things, and I have a shed full of things that now people are calling me and asking me about things I did 5 years ago. Do I still have it? Like somebody just called me last week and said, do you still have the dancer? I says, oh my gosh, I still do.
The big dancer?
The
very, very big.
30 by 40. And she's coming by now to pick it up.
Oh, wonderful.
And it was like, you know, 3 years ago.
Right.
And so, you know, they're everywhere. They come over and see it at my home, and so I have to have them in my wall like a gallery. So I have most of mine is in my I have me covering the wall.
And that's okay.
Now, Charlene, do you ever repurpose your work? Do you ever like go back to your work, especially with your abstract collage? Do you ever look at it and think, I could alter this somehow?
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm. But you know, once you've done it, you should really not touch it again. The best thing to do is to get another one, start another one. And by the way, you know, I always think people should do two canvases, two pieces of paper, and do both of them kind of simultaneously, because one will be better than another.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes one will, this one, you've done that, and you think you're finished, you're not sure, you do the other one, and you kind of... You know, they're both are going to look different,
right.
but you're not going to get stumped with just one and not know what to do. Start two.
Very, very
cool.
That's a great way to relieve yourself.
What a, not get stuck.
Right. What a great suggestion that is. I'm sure artists right now are going, bing, mm-hmm. the bell just rang. Thank you. So Frankie, let us know, when can we take her class next?
So Charlene has classes this week on Thursday. She teaches every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And again from...
Yeah, I think this time it's canceled because of...
Your afternoon class. So normally she has two sessions every Thursday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Uh-huh,
and then another
Thursday.
From 2 to 4. Uh-huh. And this Thursday, she's correct, her 2 p.m. class is canceled. We're having a service on our grounds for an artist that we just lost. So
I'm sorry, but I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yes, that would be Tom Shannon. So
And
so then she also teaches on Fridays. Not mm-hmm. this Friday, but the following Friday, usually. So is it the same? Two in one day, 10 to 12, and 2 to 4? Yes, every Thursday and Friday. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to suggest to the audience, and I know that Frankie and Lisa will also suggest this, you need to take Charlene's class. You really do. And you can go online to sawdustartfestival.org. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get a spot. The spots sell out really fast. So make sure you get a spot for this Thursday's class. And I'm very, very sorry you lost your friend.
Tom Shannon, yes, he was a founding member, founding artist, fantastic potter, definitely left a hole in the show. I mean, every time we lose an artist, it's devastating to the family of Sawdust and I think to the community, especially for somebody who's been in town for so long.
Oh, he was such a nice man.
He was
and
so funny, too.
Wonderful artist. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful artist. Uh-huh. I personally own several of his pieces, and I'm sure everybody in town remembers him, would remember his booth. And fantastically funny and witty, and definitely will be
nice
missed.
Man.
Well, our hearts and condolences are with you and the entire family at Sawdust.
Yes.
And we'll look forward. Charlene, I can't wait till the next time I see you.
Oh,
I really can't.
I'm going to be looking for you in the class.
You've absolutely brightened the day here. And I'm sure that everywhere you walk, every room you walk into, that's the case.
I can't
thank you enough for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Frankie, thank you for the introduction to Charlene. And thank you, as always, for being here. And we appreciate you and your time. And we look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. All right. Almost at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.